Hallelujah. Are you off? Okay. Praise God. As you can see, I'm going to teach this morning, and we're going to talk once again about righteousness. Wayne started on this last week, and so when he was done, you know, it was good, and then it was like, he stopped, and I thought, but there's so much more. So we were talking about it, and I was going to teach on something else today, but, you know, after that, I decided I'm going to continue on righteousness, you know. So what is the definition of righteousness? According to Strong's Concordance Dictionary, it said, in a broad sense, it's the state of him who is as he ought to be, the condition acceptable to God. What does that mean? It means when we get born again, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are made righteous. We are made acceptable to God. And, it, you know, in our spirit, you know, we are spirit, soul, and body. And in our spirit, we are made brand new. You know, we are perfect in our spirit. We are righteous in our spirit. But there's another part of us, the soul part, and we're going to talk about that this morning because that's where we have to put some effort into it. That's where we have to put some work into it. Because, you know, we are positionally, we are righteous. I am righteous. You are righteous if you're a child of God. You are perfect before God. No matter what you do, you know, you cannot mess up enough that you stop being righteous. Whether you're doing things good, whether you're doing things bad, as a child of God, you are always righteous. You are always acceptable to God. God always loves you just the way you are. You know, now we can mess up and we can get into things that bring pain into our lives. You know, that's what sin is about, is bringing pain into our lives. And God doesn't like that. He knows how much sin will hurt us. But no matter how much we sin or how much we get it right, God loves us. We are righteous. We are acceptable to God, period. The thing is that, you know, in religion, a lot of times, you know, we have been told so many things. You know, God's mad at us. God, you know, if we mess up, then we're going to pay for it, you know. You know, there's a truth, you know, sowing and reaping. But with God, we're still righteous. You know, we may reap some consequences, but we're still righteous. We're still loved by God. We can do absolutely nothing to stop God from loving us. But as I said, you know, just because all that's true, it does not mean we are experiencing it. Okay? So that's where the soul part comes in. So that's some of what we want to talk about this morning, okay? I wanted to, first of all, a quote from Breaking the Cycle. It's a book by Dr. James Richards. It's a book that we're going through on Thursday nights in our small group. And he says this. He says, God has given us a new righteous nature. He has made us a completely new creation. This is the great news. This is the most significant thing God has done for mankind since creation. Now listen to this process. He sent Jesus to become a man, step one. To live a sinless life, step two. To go to the cross, step three. To become our sin, step four. To take our punishment. Everything we've ever done wrong, anything that anyone has ever done wrong throughout all of history, whatever sin it may be, whatever sin we're gonna, you know, we may commit in the future, all of that was put on Jesus. All sickness was put on Jesus. Every disease imaginable from the beginning of time until now, every disease was put on Jesus. All of that was put on Jesus. He took our punishment. And then he died for our sins. He didn't die because he had to, because of what he had done wrong. He died for everything that everybody, you know, humanity through all time, that whatever, anything, anyone has ever done wrong, Jesus died for that. Jesus went to hell for that. Jesus went to hell for us. You know, and in our heads we know all this. Yeah, heard that. But it actually happened. Amen. He actually did it. You know, you ever study, there's a book by Rick Renner. I forget the title of it. We have it in the book room. But it's all about, he goes through step by step of everything Jesus went through in the crucifixion, you know, leading up to the crucifixion and what he went through and when he went to hell. And when you read about it, you know, because when you read the Bible, you see it, but you don't see it, you know. And when you go through and see everything that Jesus went through, and he did it for us. Because he loved us so much. In our heads, we cannot figure it out. We cannot understand it because it's impossible to love as God loves, you know, what he did with Jesus. It's impossible for us to comprehend it, I should put it that way. But he did it anyway. So he died for our sins. And part of when he died for our sins and he went to hell for us, and even though we should have been the ones that went to hell, but now we don't have to because of what Jesus did, he accepted righteousness while he was there. That's where it happened, was what he went through. And so when he became, you know, he obtained righteousness for us, and then God raised him from the dead, and then you know what? He comes and offers it to us as a free gift. We don't have to do anything. All we have to accept his gift. Once again, mentally it's impossible to fathom that much love, but we can experience it. You know, and that's what we're talking about this morning. It's not just knowing that I'm righteous. It's not just reading words. It's not just hearing this big word, you know, these big words, righteousness. Yeah, I'm righteous. What does that mean? It means that God has made available the life as God has it. The Zoe life of God, the life we're going to talk about in a little bit. The unimaginable how wonderful life can be in Jesus Christ when we experience righteousness, when we recognize who we actually are, who God has made us to be through Jesus. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You should all probably, you know, most of you here could probably, well, be able to quote this verse. It's a classic scripture. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And then it tells us over in Acts 17:28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." So this is positionally. We are in Christ. The word tells us we are in Christ. The word tells us that Christ in me, the hope of glory. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. But it's one thing to know it intellectually. It's another thing to experience it. And for those of you that have begun to experience what life is actually like when we're experiencing righteousness, life is good. Doesn't matter what's going on around you, life is good. Doesn't matter what's happening, you know, what's up, you know, what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the world, life is good. Because I am righteous, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is in me. The creator of the universe is in me, and everything that entails is in me. Say it, and it's true for you. But that's what we're, you know, that's what we're trying to get a hold of, is what we're talking about today. Okay, another quote from a book is called Seeing Jesus as He Is by Rodney Howard Brown. He says, when we realize that we are righteous in Jesus Christ, we realize that we're not slaves to sin anymore. We don't have to dance to sin's tune. We've been set free. We've been delivered. We've been washed in the blood. We've been cleansed. We've been made righteous. Without Him, we're a nothing. But thank God we're in Him. Praise God. You know, and religion says, you know, sin is you know, you're a bad person. You got to pay penance. You know, you've got to pay for it when you sin. And you know, if you're a sinner, man, you're a horrible person. You know, and the religion judges, you know, anytime that you know the sinner, you know, and that's how the world views, why the world views Christianity is the way it does, because religion is very judgmental. It's very critical. But you know what? We are no different than any sinner. We're no different than, is it ISIS? Yeah, we're no different than ISIS, but for God. Amen. But for the grace of God. That's the only reason that, you know, so we have no right to judge anybody for anything. We don't even have the right to judge ourselves. The only one that has the right to judge is God. And you know what God says? I see you. I see it, what you're doing. I see what you've done. But you know what? I still love you and accept you anyway. I still forgive you. Because that's how much, that's because God is love. Praise God, hallelujah. Good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Praise you, Lord. He tells us in 1 John 1:9, once again, another classic scripture. But when you start thinking about righteousness, and you know, and as I said, righteousness is not this, you know, don't think of it as this big spiritual word. To think of it as life as God wants me to have it. Anytime I see the word righteousness, think God, that life as God wants me to have it. What did Jesus pay the price for? What is available to me as a child of God? How should life be for me as a child of God? That's what righteousness is about. Amen. It's not this, you know, that I've got to be spiritual and holy, and because you already are holy. Whether you feel like it or not, that's part of righteousness. You are holy. Praise God. You have the privilege. You have the ability. You have the right to come before the throne of God. You know, no matter if you screwed up 16 million times, you can, at any time, you can go before the throne of God and just receive His love all over again. Just receive His acceptance all over again. Just receive His forgiveness. That's all He wants. He just wants to spend time with us. He just wants to have fellowship and relationship with us. That's all God wants. All God wants is good. God is good, period. There's no bad. God does not punish. God does not bring suffering. That's a totally different subject, so we're not getting into that today. God is good. Just remember that. God is good. Everything that comes from God is good. Praise God. So it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or in another translation, it's Young's literal translation says, every unrighteousness. There's another one that I was reading, I don't know if it was a commentary or if it was another translation, but he takes all the guilt away. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, we generally, if we're not experiencing righteousness, we are probably experiencing guilt and condemnation. You know, why don't a lot of people go to church? Because they feel guilty. You know, they don't, you know, or they feel like if they go to church, then they're going to be condemned. They're going to be judged because of whatever they're doing in their lives. But that's not God. You know, people may condemn you. Satan may condemn you. You may condemn yourself, but God doesn't. God does not judge you. God does not condemn you. Okay? So let's look in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're born again, you are in Christ Jesus. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you ever read the Bible since you got born again, whether you ever prayed, whether you're ever going to church, if you are born again, you are in Christ Jesus. But once again, that's whether you're experiencing what God has made available. Because it says here, there's no condemnation if you are walking according to the Spirit. In other words, that you're following God, that you're spending time with him. You know what he's telling you to do, and you're following what he is telling you to do. Then there's no condemnation. But if you're just out there doing your own thing, yes, there's condemnation. Is it coming from God? No. No, no, no. God is not condemning us. But religion says God is condemning you. Religion says God is judging you because of what you're doing or because of what you're not doing. But that's not what the Word says. That's not what God says. God says there is now no condemnation. There is no guilt coming from God. You know what? And the word condemnation, I've heard this definition, the expectation of things going wrong. So if you look at it and you're thinking, well, I don't condemn myself. I don't sit and, live in condemnation. Well, think about your life. Do you expect things to go wrong? Are you one of these people who says, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop? Or, something goes wrong and says, wouldn't you know it? I'm late for work and wouldn't you know it? If that is your thinking, if that is your mindset, yeah, you're living in condemnation. Because you're expecting things to go wrong. In God, things go right. I'm not saying that life is perfect and you don't ever go through things, that there's not ever any circumstances around you or situations you have to deal with. I'm not saying that. But if you can understand, if you've ever experienced, the peace and the joy of God that you can experience no matter what's coming against you, no matter what's happening in your life, that's what I'm talking about. Righteousness is not something out there, it's in here. Living and experiencing righteousness is in here. It means that, I am at peace no matter what's, everything can be falling apart around me, but I am at peace. I'm healthy, We're going to go through a list of everything that Jesus paid the price for. So it's not out there. It's not, okay, I've heard this statement that, as a child of God, that the only hell that I'm ever going to experience is life on earth. And if you look around you, it looks like the world's going to hell very quickly. But that doesn't mean, that's out there. That's not in me. It doesn't have to be in you. You can go through life. You can go through whatever, and still, when you're experiencing righteousness, you're still peace and joy and love and, Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, recognized this the other day, and this may be no revelation to anybody, but to me, it was just like a new understanding. It's like, you know, I've had this thing go back and forth through my head over the years, you know, it's saving the soul, you know, and that's what we talk about, you know, is get your soul saved, and thinking, but that's not getting born again. But it talks about saving the soul. And so this, all of a sudden, it clicked with me. It's two-part. I am born again in my spirit, which, you know, like I said, you all know this in your head, but it clicked with me. So I'm born again in my spirit, and that's what we're talking about. The righteousness is in our spirit. You know, all this good stuff, all this wonderful life that God has provided, it's already in there. You know, once if I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it's in there. It's in me. It's in you. But whether I ever experience it or not depends on whether my soul is being saved. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. When I die, the body is what goes. But my spirit and soul go with my Father, whether it's God in heaven or whether it's Satan in hell. I'm going to, you know, and this is this life, I have the time to make that decision. But I am born again in my spirit. I am brand new in my spirit. But to experience righteousness, to experience the stuff that I'm talking about this morning, that depends on how much my soul is being saved. And my soul is basically my mind, my will, and my emotions. You know, that part of me is what we consider, what we're talking about when we're talking about the soul. So I want to look at a few scriptures to back this up. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, Hebrews 10, verse 39, it says, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." So there's believing involved. You know, you guys that have been around here all the time, you know, that's a big thing. It's about what we believe. Our life is based on what we believe. You are living out what you believe. Whether you think you are or not, you are. You know, that it's not just that I'm saying that. Science is proving that. You know, you don't have to believe in healing as a Christian. You can just believe, you know, that you're sick and you go and they tell you have this disease and you change your beliefs. You can believe your way to health. You know, science is seeing this. They're doing studies over and over again. You know, you ever hear the placebo effect? You know, they give this one set of people sugar pill. They give the other set of people the real pill. The people with the taking the placebo get better faster than the people with the real pill. That's what we're talking about. Because whatever you believe, that's what you're going to be living. That's what's going to happen. So this is to save our soul, to change our beliefs, to be able to experience righteousness, to be able to experience peace and joy and everything that Jesus has provided for us. What depends on what I'm going to believe. And we all have things that we believe that are contrary to what God says about us. You know, we start with these beliefs from the time that we're in, you know, in our mother's womb. You know, we're affected by our parent, you know, by our parents' feelings and emotions and their words. We're affected by them. We can have beliefs established by the time we're born. We can already have beliefs established. I know personally, you know, many years ago now, the Lord set me free, and what He showed me is that before I was born, that I was not wanted. And then, you know, when I realized, you know, naturally, I knew it because my parents, they had five boys. I knew that they, you know, that my mother did not want any more kids. But when I was born, I was wanted because I was a girl. So, but I had to be healed of that, you know, that rejection. But so we all have those kind of things within us. And so that determines a lot about our life. So totally different subject. So let's get back on the subject at hand. Praise God. To the saving of the soul. Then in James chapter 1, verse 21, the last part of that verse says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So it talks about believing, and it also talks about the word of God. If you want to change your beliefs, it involves the word of God. You know, if you want to change what you believe, if you want to change anything, it's going to take effort and learning something new. If you want to learn a new sport, it takes effort. You have to practice. You have to think about it. You have to, you know, you have to experience it. You have to do it. Well, it's the same thing with us changing what we believe about what God says about us. You know, if you believe that, you know, God is just waiting to get you, and I'm telling you that, you know, that God says you're righteous, you're loved and accepted no matter what, and you want to start believing what I'm telling you this morning, it's going to take some effort. And one of the things is changing our beliefs. Another thing is the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is like a textbook. If you want to know what God really says about you, you have to get in the Word of God. You have to, you know, study the Word of God. You have to listen to people talking about what the Word of God actually says. Not what religion says. What does the Word of God actually say? Because religion, you know, it's just very warped. A lot, you know, the interpretation of what God is, who God really is and what He's like. But we can change. Our souls can be saved. Part of that is the Word of God. And then he tells us in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 12, in the last part of that verse, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So we have to work it out. As I said before, we are born again in our spirits, inside us. We are born again. But to get it to be manifested in our souls and in our bodies, it has to be worked out. And that involves, once again, the Word and you know, believing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says here that God's in us to do it. It's not like, you know, it's not like I have to work at it. You know, that's the other thing that religion says. You know, you've got to do it. You've got to do this. You've got to go to church so many times. You've got to pray just like this. You know, you've got to read your Bible every day. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to be nice to people. You've got to love people. You've got to do. That's religion. But a lot of us have got caught up into that. But God says, you know, God says, I'm in you. I'm going to do it. You just cooperate with me. You just harmonize with me. And it's going to happen. I'm going to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Another statement from Back to Breaking the Cycle, a book by James Richards. He says, when trying to discuss righteousness with people, I have found that few can actually connect with a literal definition. It is not, however, the definition of righteousness that empowers us to break free from the destructive cycle of lack. The key to righteousness empowering us is in how it affects self-awareness or in how we feel. To feel righteous is to feel complete and whole. So ask yourself this morning, as I read through this, is this where I'm at right now? Is to feel complete and whole. It is to feel clean and acceptable before God. Do you feel acceptable before God this morning? It is to have an absolute sense of qualification, an absolute knowing, not just a sometime, yeah, I think so, I'm not sure about, no, an absolute knowing about God's acceptance and provision in every area of life. One of the things we were talking about Thursday night is the process. You know, we haven't all arrived. I sure haven't arrived. You know, none of us have arrived in every area of our life. We're all making progress, but it's whether we're going to put in the effort to make progress. Because, you know, one of us can be, you know, I've arrived. You know, I don't get sick anymore. You know, I'm always healthy. Someone else may say, you know, I have my needs met. I have no concern about finances. You know, I know God is always going to come through. But there's other areas that we may not be equal on. So it's all a process. We're all on this, you know, road together. It's not that, you know, we ever arrive. Okay? It says, knowing the absolute knowing about God's acceptance and provision in every area of life. It is this sense of empowerment that gives us the confidence to trust God and yield to righteousness. That's the difference between knowing about righteousness in my head and experiencing. This is who I am. I am knowing, absolutely knowing, I am totally acceptable to God no matter what. No matter if I ever pray again in my life, I am still totally acceptable to God. No matter if I never go to church again in my life, I am still loved and totally acceptable to God. Does that mean God says, no, you don't ever have to go to church again? No, I mean, you can never go to church again. But I'm telling you, you're not going to be walking in this. Because we need the body of Christ, because the Word tells us you need to come together. You know, you need to hear the Word taught over and over again. You know, you try to, okay, say you're taking up tennis. Okay, one lesson. Have you arrived? Do you know how to play tennis? You know, you go to school and you take one day of school. Okay, that's how, I never have to go to school again because I heard everything in one day and I know it all. But that's the attitude we have when it comes to our relationship with God. You know, I go to church twice a year. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. Did my duty. I've got it. And then wonder why life is falling apart all the time. Wondering why I'm dealing with depression. Wondering why I have stomach issues all the time. Wondering why I'm prone to depression. I'm just discouraged. I'm just anxious all the time. I'm taking this drug. When God says it doesn't have to be that way. Amen. You can live in peace 100% of the time. But it takes effort on your part. But God said, he just said in his word, I'm in you. You know, it says about when we're actually following Jesus the way we're supposed to. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. In other words, life is good when we're actually following Jesus. Praise God, hallelujah. Okay, where did we get here? Okay, it's a sense of empowerment that gives us the confidence to trust God and yield to righteousness. What does the Word of God say? Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, you can get through a whole lot in life if you're experiencing righteousness, you're experiencing peace, and you're experiencing joy. You know, I've been through some tough times, and it's just amazing. And other people in this congregation, you'll say the same thing. Been through some really tough stuff, but it's just like you kind of just float above it because you're just in peace and joy. And it doesn't, you know, it's like I said, things around you can still be horrible, but I'm okay because I have experiencing righteousness, peace, and joy. But that's what the kingdom of God about is about. The kingdom of God is within me. When you're born again, when you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the kingdom of God is within you. It's not something out there. Amen. And, you know, and it was interesting. Wainwright was mentioning this on Thursday night. You can see where righteousness, peace, and joy, it may be a progression. Because if you think about your life, let me put it this way. When you think about your life, I know from my experience, you don't experience peace totally. It's tied into how much righteousness you're experiencing. If you're experiencing righteousness that you believe that you're righteous, you believe everything that comes along with it, that's going to determine how much peace you, and then that's going to determine how much joy. So you can look at this, it's all three, or you can see that there could be a progression. You know, your joy is determined by how much peace. You know, it's very hard to be in joy if you don't have peace. It's very hard to have peace and joy if you're not walking in righteousness, if you don't understand who you are in Christ. But that's what the kingdom of God, that's what life is supposed to be like. We're supposed to be living in the kingdom of God. Amen. And then in Matthew 6:33, you can just look up on the wall and see this one. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God will take care of you when you are walking in righteousness, when you are putting him first, when you are experiencing what he has available to you, you will have all these other things will be added to you. And if you look in that scripture, if you look what he's talking about all your physical needs, all your basic needs in life are taken care of. We don't have to worry about whether we're going to have food to eat. We don't have to worry about whether we're going to have clothes to wear, you know, whether we're going to have a job or not. God will take care of us. But whether we believe it or not, okay? So righteousness is life as it should be. The Zoe life of God. If you look up the definition of the Zoe life of God, it's just all this wonderful stuff. Just think about God and how wonderful life must be life as God must have it. Life as Jesus must have it now in heaven. That's what's available to us. Now you say, well, no. You know, inside... Yeah. As I said, you know, we have Satan and demon spirits and evil in the world. But inside, my approach to life, my believing about life, my, you know, experience in life, inside of me, I have the availability as life as God has it. That much love, okay? That much forgiveness. What's some of the things that we should have as life? Hope. You know, if you lose your hope and it's you know, I've been there. When you're without hope, you know, it's not just a feeling. It affects your life. You know, verses in Proverbs talks about it affects your very physical body when you don't have hope. Been there. Not there anymore. You don't have to get there either without hope. So one of the things that we should have is hope. One of the things we've talked about is peace. Peace. You cannot explain the peace of God. You can only experience the peace of God. You know, the Word tells us peace that passes all understanding. Peace that, you know, when things are falling apart, when you hear, you know, about, you know, what's going on in the world today, when you hear about that, you know, destruction here and killing here and you know, and evil here and there and this falling apart and that falling apart and what's going to happen with the economy and what's going to happen with the election, it doesn't matter because I'm okay in God. Whatever happens, God says it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. health. Jesus took the pain. Jesus paid the price for sickness and disease. You know, as a child of God, you never have to be sick. You sit there, what? No, the Word of God says that. You never have to be sick. It's not God's will for you to be sick. You know what? Whether you're born again or not, God doesn't want you sick. It's not one of those things. You know, Jesus paid the price for it, but God wants you healthy. You don't have to be a Christian to receive healing from God. All you have to do is believe. Yes, Jesus, you made healing available. God, you want me healed. And whatever sickness or disease that you may be dealing with, God wants you healed. 100% of the time. There is no qualifications. There's no, well, you don't know what I did. You don't know why I'm this. You know, no. God wants you healed, period. Amen. Always. Amen. Praise God. Prosperity. Prosperity can be very, mean different things to different people. But prosperity is another definition, way of looking at it. Life as God has it. All my needs are supplied. You know, one of the things that I say is I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wise. Amen. You know, and you know, it's God, whether you have a job or don't have a job, whether you have a good paying job or a not good paying job, God still will take care of you. Amen. That's prosperity. God does not want anybody to be poor. Now, he says in the Word, the poor, Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. Why? Because everybody isn't experiencing what God has available for them. But it doesn't mean, you know, what it does isn't not saying that, yes, as a Christian, you know, you're supposed to be poor. We don't have the time, but if you study out the life of Jesus, Jesus was not poor. When you have a robe that they're going to cast lots for because they don't want to, because it's seamless, whoa, that's wealth. Okay, another one, protection. You know, this is one that a lot of times Christians kind of leave out. Yeah, they say, yeah, I'm protected. But life says differently. You know, what their beliefs say differently, I should say. Because you say, yes, I'm protected. But, you know, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of terrorism. I'm afraid of crime. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. That means I don't believe that I'm protected. I am protected. As a child of God, you are protected. And that's part of righteousness. No matter what you're facing. You know, God, you know, I've heard stories about this, testimonies about this. You know, people being shot and the bullet does not hit them. You know, things like that. You know, just reading one recently. I forget which. If it was, well, you read about them. Well, you can see in the Bible or other places. But there was. I think the one I was just reading about was there was missionaries, and don't ask me what country they were in. But anyhow, there was this tribe coming to attack them, and you know, so the missionaries are praying, and, you know, and asking God for protection, and. So then they look out, and everybody, they're all running in the opposite direction. And so they find out later that what happened was when they were coming, these, you know, this tribe or whoever they were coming to attack the missionaries, they saw this big army that was standing with the missionaries. And so they turned them on the other direction. There's story after story after story. I mean, when you hear about people that are actually trusting God, then you hear about stories of protection. We have to get a hold of that. We, as children, we must get a hold of that God, you know, for us to walk through. You know, why did some people get you know, not get killed in 9/11? How many stories did you hear about, well, they didn't go to work because of that, or they didn't go to work because of that, or they didn't do this, or they didn't go here. God's protection. Amen. But that's for us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God's protection. Amen. But we have to believe it. To experience it, we have to believe it. We have to grab a hold of it. Joy. We've talked about this. Joy of the Lord. You know, joy is, you know, it's not the same as happiness because happiness can come and go. But joy is like, yes, it's good and it's going to get better. It's good and it's going to get better. Do I have any idea how it's going to get better? I have no money in my checking account. No, but it's good and it's going to get better. You know, I'm dealing with this symptom and that symptom, but it's good and it's going to get better because that's what God says is mine. Praise God, hallelujah. Grace. Grace, God's ability in me to do what I cannot do on my own. It's something we need to tap into all the time. You know, we're always dealing with something. How, you know, it may be something at work, you know. It may be something at home. You know, I was talking about Thursday night about how for me personally, it's like, you know, living on the farm. And there's things physically that just in the natural, you know, just in my age and stuff. And I don't know how I'm going to do that. But God, I need your grace. God, I need your grace. And so many times, just afterwards, you wonder, I accomplished so much. How did I do that? It wasn't me. It was God. Amen. But God's grace is not for just spiritual things. It's for life. God's ability in me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wisdom. Wisdom. The wisdom to know what to do. Know how to apply knowledge. Know that, you know, once again, at work, you may have a thing that you don't understand. How am I going to accomplish this? What am I supposed to do here? God's wisdom. And he tells us, ask for wisdom. It's in there. It's in there. We just have to tap into it. Supernatural thing, understanding things and knowing things. There's no way we could figure it out with our background or our schooling or whatever. But somehow we know how to do it. God's wisdom. Amen. And love. God is love. You know what? Christ in me. I'm in Christ. God is love. I am made in the image of God. So I am love. As a child of God, you are love. I don't have to try to love people. As I experience righteousness, as I experience who I am in Christ, love is just automatic. Loving people is just automatic. It's much easier that way than it is, I gotta love Jess. Man, she really irritates me. I gotta love her. I will love her. Yes, Father, I confess a sin, that not loving Jess. I will love her. Yes. Yes, I love Jess. I love Jess. I love Jess. That's what a lot of what we've tried to do over the years. That's a whole lot different than I love because God's in me. It's just natural. It just happens. I've done it both ways. God's way is so much easier. But that's what's available to us. And there's more. There's more than just that list that I just gave you. That's the life that God wants for us. That's the life that is available to us as his children. You know, one of the things that he tells us to do in the book, and I think it was our homework assignment for this past week, is to look in the mirror and say, I am completely righteous. And then check out what feelings are there. Because if the feelings don't line up with what's coming out of your mouth, it's an indication you have some work to do. Because you don't believe you're righteous yet. So once again, as I said before, it takes effort. And there's various ways. There's various tools. You know, we've talked about tools here over the past couple years of you get meditation. You know, there's put off, put on. You know, there's various tools. You may be praying in tongues. You know, I've got set free of things over the years by just praying in tongues for long periods of time. It's just spending time with God. You know, praying. You know, having someone lay hands on you. When the anointing is there, sometimes it's just that. But we have to make the effort. It's not a works thing, but we have to make the effort. Just like learning anything else, just like changing anything else. If you want to lose weight, you have to make the effort. You have to say no to some foods and yes to other foods. It's not just, okay, God, I believe I'm going to lose weight. I believe I'm going to lose weight. No, there is that part. But I can say, I believe I'm going to lose weight and eat chocolate cake. And I believe I'm going to lose weight and eat ice cream. And I believe I'm going to, it takes effort. So to change our life, it takes effort. But praise God. Remind yourself as often as you can remember it, I am righteous. I am loved. I am accepted. I am forgiven. In fact, let's confess it this morning. I am righteous.
I am righteous.
I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
I am loved.
I am loved.
I am accepted.
I am accepted.
I am prosperous.
I am prosperous.
I am healthy.
I am healthy.
I am full of joy.
I am full of peace.
I am full of hope.
That's who I am.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the group is going to start with Shake today. And I know generally with Shake, except for me, most of the rest of you is... You know. So what I'm asking you to do today, I'm not asking you to do anything outwardly. But with what I just taught about this morning... As we do Shake this morning, I want you to think about it. You know, I am not that coordinated, okay? So what I do is actually, whatever. But anyhow, in my head, when I hear songs like Shake, I am going through this full dance routine. I see myself jumping and leaping and doing all this stuff. So that's what I'm asking you to do. As you think about, What I just talked about this morning, you know, you should be jumping up and down and hooping and hollering because of who we are, what God has made available. But I know your religious outward parts are going to keep you not moving. But at least do it in your head this morning. At least start experiencing who you really are. If you're full of, if you're healthy this morning, then you should be excited. Well, I have all these symptoms. I'm sick. But God says you're healed. You know, if you're, whatever it may be, whatever God says about you, at least experience it in your imagination this morning as we're going into praise and worship this morning. Can guarantee you, if you do it, you're going to feel better when you're done. You know, it's one thing, when I teach, I get excited because, yeah, that's true, yeah, that's true, yeah, that's true. So I know I get crazy sometimes, but you know, it's true. Woo! Praise God, hallelujah. Let's worship the source of it all, God our Father. Amen? Praise God.